There's no scripture listed. I'm going to pick out scripture, and if anyone else wants to pick out scripture as we go along with this sermon, you're welcome to, as long as you read it. I want to read just one. It's more like two verses, one and a half. It'll be familiar to you. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. In the Bible, when they talk about living waters, while there's, of course, analogies to be drawn to the Spirit, living water would have been water that was moving, not stagnant, which was important to have that sort of water. Still waters would be a place where you could take your sheep to drink without worrying about them. Still waters would be a place 2 millennia ago where when you leaned over to drink, well, in a still pool of water, what do you see? A reflection of yourself. A reflection of yourself. Have any of you ever spent time in your life when you were a kid, maybe, or even as an adult, where you just look in the mirror and look yourself in the eye? You ever done that before? Yeah, you have, but you aren't going to admit it here. I understand. It's important to do that at times, to really look at yourself and see yourself and your situation for what it is as the best you can. And that's part of what we're going to talk about today. I feel a need to sit down for this, so I'm going to sit down for at least a few minutes and then I'll get up and wander. Oh, did a wedding last Sunday. And those of you who know me know weddings are okay. I prefer funerals. If you ask any pastor, almost any pastor, they will tell you, and most florists too, they will tell you that they prefer funerals to weddings. And the reason why is very simple. A wedding usually is all caught up in tension to make it the perfect day, the bride's day, and everything's got to be just so. A funeral is a time when everyone's stepping back and taking notice of themselves and an account of their lives and thinking of the past and the present, and when they project to the future, it's with a humility that is very fertile ground for a pastor. I don't think anyone has ever joined our church as a result of me doing a wedding, but several are here with us after we have met at a funeral. And that says a lot in and of itself. But anyway, I was doing this wedding on Sunday, and the only connection I had to the bride and groom was I had done her mother's wedding 5 years earlier, a second marriage. And I had done that wedding, and they were stunned and amazed that I remembered that wedding 5 years ago. I do a lot of weddings every year, and I remembered the wedding 5 years ago. I didn't tell them why I remembered. But I'll tell you. Five years ago, this past April, there was a funeral service for David Good at Crosswinds Community Church. And David and I had worked hard in this church together for a lot of years. And David and I had a falling out when we were building our new building. And it was a serious falling out. And then in February of 2007, David appeared in my office one day and said, "We're going to Florida on vacation, and God told me that I need to come and heal with you before I do anything else." And we did heal, and we were friends again. It's a good thing, because on April 21st, I believe it was, David was working on his minivan in his mom's garage, and it fell on him and killed him. And so, Saturday in April, an overcast Saturday, his funeral was at crosswinds on the west side of Canandaigua Lake. Everybody left that funeral and came over here to the fire hall, except me. I left that funeral and drove around the lake because I had a wedding scheduled, the mother of the bride I just married last weekend. And went over to talk to them. Both of them had come out of really difficult relationships, very hard marriages where each of them had suffered a great deal of damage. And miracle of miracles, they found each other and they were to be wed. And children were very happy for the relationship. Friends, very happy for the relationships. And we walked down these steps down onto a dock right on the lake. And we did the wedding. And their wedding song was At Last, Etta James. At last. You could sing it. You guys could do it justice. And so we finished the ceremony. And At Last started to play. And they started dancing. And I was behind them, and I could see the lake behind them, and a soft mist started to fall. And it was a deeply meaningful moment. It was a beautiful moment. I was all empty of myself, and they filled me in a beautiful way. My entire community was grieving without me 12, 15 miles away. And that was a very important moment of my grief. You don't share that sort of thing with a new bride on a wedding day. And when I did the wedding, I did not tell them where I had come from. They weren't in a funeral mode. They were in a wedding mode. So, of course, I remembered very well that wedding. It was God showing me that life goes on and that even in the greatest damage, even in the greatest hardship and heartache, love will win out. It's a marvelous, marvelous moment. So I wowed them when I said I could even name the date and remembered the wedding and remembered the wedding song and remembered a soft rain falling as they were dancing. And you know, I was like the Amazing Kreskin. That was... I don't know if they know these sermons go online. So anyway, this past weekend, a bunch of us had to drive up, I can't even remember the name of the town now, up above Lockport, where we went for the funeral. Newfane. Yeah. A bunch of us drove up to Newfane because Judy Ann Lewis's father had passed away. Judy Ann has a marvelous family, and she was very close to her dad. And he burned himself a few years back. He had been rugged and in great shape, and he burned himself severely a few years ago. And that was the beginning of a downfall that just tumbled. And so a bunch of us drove up there for the funeral on Saturday. And then I drove from Newfane to Geneva for a wedding rehearsal for the daughter of the woman I had married 5 years earlier. And then on Sunday after church, I drove out for the wedding. Two really nice people. Really smart, really wonderful people. They had met at Food Link, where they volunteered. And they wrote the whole ceremony themselves. And it was lovely. It was a lovely ceremony. And we rehearsed on Saturday. They wrote their own vows and hadn't shared them with each other. And we didn't go through the vows on Saturday. We're going to hold that for Sunday. She wrote her vows down. He memorized his. And so Sunday came. And it was a nice day. It was kind of overcast, actually. But the storms went on three horizons around us. We're up on a bluff on the west side of Seneca Lakes. And the west horizon, the south horizon, the north horizon are all the steel blue. And it was overcast by us, not unlike the day 5 years ago. And it gets to the point where they're going to say their vows. The DJ had messed up the music. And the bride had laughed about that. And the flower girls froze halfway down the aisle, and the bride had laughed about that. They had two dogs that were part of the wedding. And the one they were keeping their eye on behaved perfectly. The other one, well, and they came forward and we did the whole of the service. It came time for the vows. The bride's there, she's got long flowing red hair, beautiful girl. And it's tumbled down on her shoulders and everywhere. She's wearing a strapless gown, silk and satin, all embroidered. And she's just stunning, absolutely stunning. Bright blue eyes, smiling all the time. And she pulls out her vows, which she's written down. She unfolds them. And this young woman starts reading. She's like 25 years old. I don't know how she knows so much about love and life. But she starts reading. And there was not a breath among the people gathered. There was not a creak of those cheap plastic rental chairs. Nothing. You could have heard a pin drop. And her groom, who stands about 4 inches taller than me, is just standing there in awe. And she weaves this spell, full of appreciation and joy and love and promise and hope for the future that's going to be. This beautiful woman is an old soul. And for a page, she speaks her vows. And she gets done. And she just kind of looks up over the paper, hands the paper to her maid of honor and turns back to her groom and looks at him. And he's got his mouth open. He's standing there and he is stunned. And no one can speak. And finally, he actually physically twists at the waist on the spot. It's like he's trying to surface after having all this love poured onto him. And all he can say is, "Oh." Just like that. Oh. Now, the cool thing about weddings is there are some things that are shared just between the pastor, the bride, and the groom. You're right up there tight. And she just whispers under her breath, "Have you forgotten what you were going to say?" And she's smiling at him. Her love was so powerful that day, so overwhelming. And I'm thinking of things like the funeral the day before, and when some of you have met Judy's brother Jeff, a remarkable guy, a great guy. And in the thing that was read for him, he said that his sister is his best friend in the world. And I look and I see the two of them lean in close together and touch heads. And it was just a gorgeous moment. And the love that was in that room at that funeral for the deceased and for the survivors was palpable. It was a love that he had poured out on them and that continued to flow. And I saw this same love because I was open to it on Sunday because of my experiences and the connection to the experiences 5 years ago. I was open to seeing love move. It could have been very funny. Just bride says it all, thinks to write hers down. Groom doesn't remember his vows and gets stuck on the spot. That could be very funny. But what it was incredibly sacred. And I couldn't process it right away. But I have this other friend. His name is Adam Wilcox. And his mother, Patricia Florence Wilcox, is a poet who died suddenly some years ago at the age of 69 of a heart aneurysm. And every year on the anniversary of her death, Adam sends his friends one of her poems. And this was the poem that I opened up after I had that wedding and that funeral experience. And she wrote it in a feverish time, fairly close to when she would pass away. And the title of the poem is 12-12-80. And here's what she wrote. "It is hard to quit loving, to stop the pure gift of it. Once a pitcher is tilted, the good milk pours on. Called to it, commanded, I cannot retain it. If the beloved will not accept it, my love pours on into the silence, sings to itself, in wonder at itself, it cavorts like a squirrel or child any pretty delight. It is sublimely final. I don't turn back upon it, babbling trumped up reasons, not even when my body grows silent, as though distant in the presence of the beloved body. Inside me, the actual violence drums and trumpets. Speechless before you and you, I am full of strumming messages. Turn me inside out and you will hear the glad world of my unfurled billet-doux. This plenteous planet God and I inhabit becomes, by reversal, all the dark universe beyond my unique command. So believe me, I will not take my love back. Never. So it was a busy weekend last week, and I had a wedding and a funeral, and I had my church service too, and that's all it had to be. We have weekends like that, right, where you got to be 10 different places, and you move and zoom and boom, 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 all around. How many times do we have a busy weekend instead of having sacred moments? How many times do we have hectic schedules that make us crazy and drive right by the beauty and blessing of the message? I did a wedding where things were a little silly and crazy. But instead, because I scratched the surface, I had a blessed time, a life-changing experience with people who themselves were having a blessed time and a life-changing experience. Now, how does this apply to all of us? Well, it's simple, really. I want you to pick any experience you've had recently, and don't make it a profound one, okay? Mowed my lawn the other day. Little John Deere tractor, which I had to replace some stuff on. The first I've had to replace anything on it since I got it. I got it from Joan Barron, Doug's mom, who gave it to me because she was moving out of her house and I was moving into mine, and I couldn't afford a riding tractor, so she gave me this lawnmower to ride. And she gave all these banners that we have in our church. So much beauty and so much that she has given me in my life. I plan on calling her, by the way, and telling her about this. And so when I was riding my lawnmower, mowing my lawn yesterday to beat the rain, and the barn swallows who've got a nest somewhere where I said they were flirting with me, they were attacking me, but and they're zooming around. I was thinking of Joan, and I was thinking of what she would put on a banner of those that split barn swallow tie and that sweet-looking belly as they fly around and zoom. And I was thinking of all the beauty that I have in my life and all the appreciation I have in my life because Joan has helped me to see it. I mowed my lawn yesterday. Any of you have anything we could tease out? Anyone dare? Oh, come on. Yeah, Larry. Uh-oh, something you do a lot?
Out of the corner of my eye, I see Mark, and I see a group of special needs kids. And I see one of them dart for him and barreled over him with a hug. And it was just, one of those moments.
Beautiful. So the sound system didn't work yesterday, huh?
The sound system didn't work. The timers were off. We had about 300 people around them, all chaos, and we turned around and
boom. Marvelous. Anybody else?
Lori. Yesterday, our granddaughter Jessie sang at the Mendon Firemen's Picnic, and I was just amazed. When she was little, she was the shyest little thing you'd ever want to see. And what a difference. She's just amazing.
Even when the microphone blew away from her. Sacred moment. Anyone else? Okay. Oh, yeah, Elizabeth. Yes, you do. In order to broadcast it to the world, you need this. Hi, Bonnie.
Well, yesterday I did Zumba Gold demonstration over at Thompson Wellness Center. When I first got there, there was a room full of people, and there was yoga going on, and then there was Nia, which is wonderful, and there was healthy backs. And with each presentation, the audience got fewer and fewer. So by the time I did my presentation, out of 16 possible people, there was only like 5 left. But it was so neat because the ones that stayed, I mean, these are all people that are probably 70s and up, and they were just so joyous and tapping their feet and waving their arms, and one lady even got up. And then, of course, they weren't anywhere near Honeyway except for the one little lady who got up and wanted to know where she could do this. She lived in Bristol. So that was really, I thought, a really neat experience.
Nice. Sacred moment. Yeah, Gary.
Have at it. I don't know if it's a sacred moment or not, but boy,
all
this happening, all these people talking about things happening yesterday. Yesterday must have been a pretty sacred day. We had our first distribution of the produce from our farm, Fiddler's Greens, and it was just really, just wonderful. I mean, if you remember Friday with the rain, and the torrential rains, and today with the rains not making it very pleasant. Yesterday was absolutely gorgeous. I mean, the sun was out, it wasn't hot, it was beautiful. And I was, again, reflecting on how you can get caught up. We have a lot of work out there. I mean, I'm cutting down the woods, and I just cut trees and doing excavation and everything else. And I really needed, we still haven't gotten everything in the ground, and I'm like going, like really getting myself uptight, and just having the members come and just walk around, look at the place, experience their joy. It just, like, I didn't go back to going to work. I mean, I just spent the whole day hanging out with the members that came there, and it was just, I just let everything go. I said, I have to, just be with what's happening here and not get back, into the franticness of getting things done. That's,
yeah. Instantly, Gary is 2 for 2 on sharing. Wonderful. Hey, Pam.
Hi. Like this?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, well, we just got back from a 10-day trip exploring southern Florida area, and it's kind of neat. We drove over 1,000 miles and stopped at different places and also visited my family that I haven't seen in 5 years, so it was kind of neat. But the people that we meet along the way, these moments in time where you go someplace, you don't know anybody in the area, and all of a sudden these people come into your lives. And there's 3 particular situations that hit me. One was, we decided to take this boat out to this place called Little Palm Island. It was $1,000 a night to stay out, which was, ridiculous. But we found out
We didn't stay there.
No. But we heard that you could go out there for lunch, take a boat out there for lunch. So we decided to do the lunch thing, which ended up costing $180. But just the experience of being on that island, and the waiter was from Peru, and just the beaming smile and the gentleness of how he treated us was, just made that whole experience, besides the good food and the water right there. But another situation, driving through the Everglades, we wanted to take a swamp buggy ride and an airboat ride. Well, we're just driving around in this one particular cypress park, and all of a sudden on the side of the road was this man waiting with his truck with a swamp buggy. So we stopped and talked to him and drove down a little bit and decided to come back and take a swamp buggy ride through the Everglades. Well, he says, me and my daughter, his name was Captain Steve, and his daughter was Stevie. Well, she comes out of the truck. I didn't know she was there. And this precious little swamp buggy girl, just provided, again, in this moment of time, I needed something and she needed something. And I gave her love and she gave me love, of just letting her play with my hair and use my camera and do, while we went on a swamp buggy you ride through the Everglades. So just meeting these people through time was in these unexpected moments, and what you give to them and what they give to you is kind of neat. And then the third thing was not a person, but birds. We stopped at a restaurant sitting by the intercoastal waterway, eating lunch, and all of a sudden there's this stork next to us in the restaurant. He just walked right up to us. Of course, he was looking for food, but there was a connection with the animals there too, and the birds especially. And then next thing we know, there's a baby heron right next to us. It's like our presence there, and they knew that presence. And then there was another night bird that was just waiting there to fish, and they were all present with us at that moment. So I don't know, all those things were kind of special and made the whole trip just really wonderful. So
beautiful. You get to say the second to the last word.
All right, fair enough. One Thursday night at band rehearsal, one of the ladies, Carol, came to talk to me, and she was at wit's end. Her husband was very sick with Alzheimer's, and she didn't know what to do. She didn't know how to handle him anymore, and she was terrified and upset. And we talked, and I guess better said, God talked to her, gave her peace. John died on Monday. And she said that God had to give her a weekend.
Thank you. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. The promise of God is that every time we slow down and listen and feel and look, our souls can be restored. The sacred is woven throughout our lives. The holy is always there wherever we are. All it takes is to stop, really observe, be still and know that I am God, is what is said, the psalmist says. Be still and know that I am God. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. My prayer for all of us is that we could have the self-control, the gift of the Spirit of self-control, to do this, to stop amid our crazy distractions long enough to really see what's going on and how God is blessing us. We're going to have communion now. Y'all are going to sing Amazing Grace, and I think we might just do it a cappella. Is that all right? Nothing about your playing, which is marvelous. Would you girls like to lead us? And we're going to have communion. All are welcome at this table, of course.